We're in Revelation chapter 18. You know, as I read this passage, I thought of Mount Vesuvius, near a place called Pompeii, Italy. Mount Vesuvius began to erupt on August 24th in the year AD 79. Within the next 25 hours, it wiped out the entire town. Hundreds of years later, 15 centuries later, actually, archaeologists excavated Pompeii, and they found everything and everyone that had been there that day perfectly preserved in the volcano's ash. Now, one of the eyewitnesses of this volcanic eruption at this time was a man by the name of Pliny the Younger, a Roman administrator and a poet. And in fact, he was just 18 years of age at the time, and he described how people were climbing up through the waves of ash to escape. So at noon, on August 24th, 79 AD, the peak of Mount Vesuvius exploded, propelling a 10-mile mushroom cloud of ash and pumice into the stratosphere. And so for the next 12 hours, volcanic ash and a hail of pumice stones up to 3 inches in diameter showered Pompeii, forcing the city's occupants to flee in terror. Now, some 2,000 people stayed in Pompeii, and they were holed up in their cellars and stone structures and hoping to wait out the eruption. Well, the next morning, August 25th, these remaining 2,000 people were instantly killed when a cloud of toxic gas poured into the city, suffocating all that remained, combined with a huge amount of flames that instantly sucked the air right out of their bodies. Instantly. And a flow of rock and ash followed, collapsing roofs and walls and burying these 2,000 people. Now, in two letters to the historian Tacitus, Pliny told how, a quote, people covered their heads with pillows, the only defense against a shower of stones, and of how, quote, a dark and horrible cloud charged with combustible matter suddenly broke and set forth. Well, some had gambled their own fate. On that first day, some actually prayed to die. That's the 24th. According to Pliny the Younger's account, that eruption lasted 18 hours. Pompeii then was buried under 14 to 17 feet of ash and pumice. The nearby seacoast was drastically changed. And some residents of Pompeii later returned to dig out their destroyed homes to salvage their valuables, but many treasures were left and then forgotten. It was the following morning, again, when the horribly horrific, powerful eruption killed everyone in an instant, in one instant. With rain mixed with ash, it formed a sort of a concrete, preserving the city. And the nearby town of Herculaneum was also buried on August 25th, but a mudslide set off by the eruption and accompanying tremors estimated that 13,000 people in total died from the eruption. Now, let me go on. It was not until over 15 centuries later, actually in 1516 AD, 1595 AD, during the construction of an aqueduct, that Pompeii was rediscovered. And one encyclopedia said the eruption, quote, ejected a cloud of stones, ashes, volcanic ashes, gases to a height of 21 miles, spewing molten rock and pulverized pumice at the rate of 6 times 10 to the 5th cubic meters per second. 7.8 times 10 to the fifth cubic yards per second, ultimately releasing 100,000 times the thermal energy released by the Hiroshima Nagasaki bombs. 100,000 times more powerful. Now, one other article taken from a website called livescience.com. It says, shortly after midnight, a wall of volcanic mud engulfed the town of Herculaneum, obliterating the town as its citizens fled toward Pompeii. About 6:30 in the morning, on the following morning, a glowing cloud of volcanic gases and debris rolled down Vesuvius slopes and enveloped the city of Pompeii. Most victims died instantly as the superheated air burned their lungs, contracted their muscles, leaving their bodies in a semi-curled position to be quickly buried in ash and thus preserved in detail for hundreds of years. Now, just a side note, this picture actually is real, and these bodies found. Just a side note. We hear of huge forest fires or firestorms, and we hear of some of the best firefighters that have come in to fight these fires. You find that they were killed instantly. Now, how does that happen? Well, radiated heat from the fire. These fires can actually, as we've recently seen on the news, can actually melt asphalt. It can melt metals. Glass, it can turn street tarmac into flammable hot liquid. The very high temperatures ignite anything that might possibly burn. And the explosive fire literally sucks the oxygen from the air for miles ahead. Sucks it in. Because the flames need oxygen to burn. And it's going at a horrific pace. And miles away, the air oxygen is sucked away and burst into flames. Now, what we're going to see today in Revelation 18, hear me, is thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of times more severe than what happened to Pompeii in AD 79 by Mount Vesuvius. Babylon the Great, that immoral religious system and physical economic system that controls the whole earth, and you see it even today, is going to be destroyed in one instant. Now, we've been studying on Sunday mornings the horrifying events that will be happening during the 7 years of tribulation, which will occur when we, Christians, are taken up to meet Christ in the air, and we're going to be watching from heaven. So let me say to you, as we get into this passage, two words. Strap in. Put your seatbelts on. We're going to jet through chapters 18 up to 19, verse 2. We're going to review a little bit of 18. Look at verse 1. After these things, that's after the destruction of the immoral Church of Rome, the Roman Church. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. Very special, powerful angel. Now let me just remind you. At this time, this angel shows all the earth is dark. And men are blistered and they're gnawing their tongues. Now, keep in mind the islands are disappeared and the mountains, it's Mount Evans and other mountains, are moved out of their place. And so you find this angel coming down, lightened with glory, light emanating from him. In verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils. It's like demons everywhere. Dirty, filthy demons. Babylon now is the habitation of Satan. The city and church of this system called Babylon the Great is the habitation of demons. The final form of political system and final form of the religious system of Rome is completely infested with demons. As you look at many of the cults today, I believe the Church of Rome, Roman Catholic Church, you see a lot of that happening in these cults and that church today. Notice it says, and the hold of every foul spirit. Hold is the hideout, the haunt of every foul spirit, every foul demon. Dirty, obscene, unclean, impure, unseen beings. These are demons. And it says, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Cage is the hideout of every grimy, filthy, squalid, contaminated, infected, and hateful, detestable, stinky, revolting bird. Now, look at verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So it's just like a person taking his first drink of alcohol. That first taste of sin. Before long, he desires more and more. And then there comes drunkenness. This person is drinking and that is drinking is unaware of the future consequences of taking their first drink. So that's just like the nations of the earth that we're reading about, drinking that first drink of wine, alcoholic beverage of corrupt and religion and corrupt economy. And the next, as you look forward to the future, the religion and economic system of Babylon the Great, they're drunk with that wine of Babylon the Great. And I would say that's so typical, again, of people taking their first drink. Don't take the first drink because you don't realize the future consequences. Now, so she, Babylon the Great, the whore, is unfaithful and materially seductive. Notice it says, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich. It means the merchants are grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Extravagant, excessive luxuries that she offers. She heaps upon herself the praise of man and promotes the fact, we'll see, that she is queen. And all the various kingdoms of the earth are drinking of the wine of the Church of Rome. And all the kings of the earth have embraced the philosophy of Rome, the philosophy of Babylon the Great. So here you find the one world religion, one world economy, and one world government of Babylon the Great. So here you have it. It's the end of the world. By this time, everything will have fallen apart. Every system of the world has been judged. All the earth's economy is driven by the beast, or Satan, by the Antichrist, the false prophet, and his host of demons. And the people and Satan realizes he hath but a short time and comes down with all of his wrath and power and influence, and everything comes to an end. And the end result, Jesus will reign. Now look at verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. So who's that talking about? Who's saying these are my people? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus saying, separate yourself from the false church to save yourselves from becoming polluted. So it appears that there are some true believers, true Christians in the false church. Well, that's obvious because you've got 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching the gospel during this time. You have two flying angels flying all over the earth preaching the gospel. And you have two witnesses, torch bearers, torch blowers, Moses and Enoch, maybe, Elijah and Enoch, maybe, and they're preaching the gospel, and the voice from heaven is telling you, or we're in heaven, telling Christians, get out of the false church! Get out! Why? That ye be not partakers of her sins. And then he says that ye receive not of her plagues. Interesting word, plagues. The word plagues means beatings or blows or wounds. Plagues is a type of suffering and pain. So here's the common principle, and this is for us. You hang out with the wrong crowd, you will suffer the consequences along with them. So come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now look at verse 5. It's like her evil deeds have been stacked up all the way to heaven. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You know what that says to me? We don't sin and get away with it. You know, there's consequences of sin. Now, as a Christian, when I confess my sin, it's wiped clean, and God remembers my sin no more. But here, he's talking about Babylon. He's talking about that wicked system. And God hath remembered her iniquities. And then it says, verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. So payback time is coming. Just as she rewarded you or rendered to you. And it's time to pay Babylon back for all the damage she has done in the lives of so many people. You think about that today. You see the news promoting principles and philosophies that are contrary to the Word of God. Such evil, wicked philosophy. You turn channels, you find the same thing. And that's the philosophy, the doctrine of the Babylon the Great. And God says He will pay her back twice as much for all the evil deeds she has done. She poured out her evil and wrath from her cup of wickedness, so fill up her cup and double it with the retribution for her evil deeds. The implication is then force her to drink it down to the dregs, as we've seen in previous verses. Now verses 7 and 8. It says, how much she hath glorified herself. It's like she's saying, oh, look at me. Aren't I beautiful? How do I look now? Give to me. Worship me. It says, and lived delicately. It's like in opulence, she gratified herself by living sensuality. Sensually. So much torment and sorrow give her. So it's like payback time. Give her back all the torture, all the torment, all the sorrow, the mourning she's given to other. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen. I'm in the position of a queen. I'm in charge of you. I'm your boss. Now notice it says, am no widow and see no sorrow. It's like I'm a beauty queen. This is Babylon the Great. I'm not a widow and I don't see why I should sorrow. So she's self-sufficient. It says, I am no widow. Well, obvious. She's saying, I am not a one man woman. That's what she's saying. I would say, yeah, you try whore. That's what the Bible says, you're a whore. Therefore, verse 8, shall her plagues come in one day. Suddenly. Without any opportunity to prepare for them. So all of a sudden, she will be struck down by her self-deserving plagues. And by the way, you don't see progression here. It's like, boom! In one day, the idea is 1 hour. It's like instantly. That's a metaphor for instantly it's going to happen. And the plagues will come instantly in one day. And plagues means blows or wounds or beatings and death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. You know what that says to me? You don't mess with God. God is capable. God is powerful. God is strong. He is mighty. He is the Lord God who judges and will judge this philosophy and this system. He issues judgments against her, and He's the one who pronounces judgments against her. Now look at verses 9 and 10. And the kings of the earth, that's the rulers, the heads of the 10 great divisions of power on the earth. As I mentioned before, the Bible says that the earth is going to be turned into 10 divisions of power. And have a king over each one of these divisions. They all answer to the Antichrist and eventually to the beast. And so it says the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, that means enjoyed her more immorality, and lived deliciously with her, that means sensuously, luxuriously, that gratified all their lustful senses with her. It says, shall bewail her and lament for her. They'll weep and mourn and wail. It says, when they shall see the smoke of her. So everything has been lit on fire, and now you see the smoke of it all. Now, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. So these kings, these leaders, are standing off in the distance. And what are they saying? They're saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. It's like, oh my, oh my, oh my. Look at that, that great and awesome city of Babylon. That huge and powerful religious and economic system, all of it suffering the judgment of God in a short time. It's like this. It all came apart at once. Destroyed in one instant. You know, one would say, oh, how terrible, how horrible, how disastrous. I mean, these others, you would think these other nations are broken and they're sad to see Babylon suffering such horrible judgment from God. Oh my, poor Babylon, poor Babylon. They feel sorry for Babylon. Not true. Read on. Look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What's that saying? All these owners and managers of the shops and businesses are weeping and mourning. Why? It's because they have a burden for Babylon? Why? For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. They've gone bankrupt. It's like, oh no, what can we do now? Our main distributor has gone under. Oh no, we have millions and millions of products to sell. And our huge buyer, Babylon, has gone under. There's lots of crying and huge depression. And why? Because of their burden for Babylon? No, because Babylon has fallen and they now have gone broke. He goes on, verse 12. For the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk. By the way, silk at that time was banned by the Roman emperor. So they have silk and scarlet and all fine wood. That's wood that smells very nice. It looks pretty. They use it as an inset in wooden furniture. So in thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory. This is ivory from the elephants. And all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. So the thought is false religion and false economy sure was profitable. The kings profited from it. And cinnamon, verse 13, and odors and ointments and frankincense. These are sweet smelling herbs used for incense. And wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. So during this time, you have human beings sold like animals. Verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. So the thought is, kings, all the kings in Babylon are stripped of everything you lusted after. The idea now is you kings, you nations, you 10 nations are bankrupt now. That Babylon's gone down. It's all the earth. But by the way, does this strike you? This is not in our notes. Does this strike you a little bit weird or odd that though everything is turned upside down, I mean, huge stars falling to the earth and the waters turned to blood and sores and scabs over everybody and no light and does it strike you a little bit odd that they're still doing business? Think about that. Coca-Cola. They have a new brand of Coca-Cola. It's now red. Blood. I mean, it's all, you know, dark. Does that strike you a little bit odd? Now, I mean, they still have all manners of ivory and vessels of precious wood and brass and iron and marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, selling slaves, human beings sold like animals. Look at verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. It's like stripped of everything you lusted after. It's like you now are bankrupt. You don't know Christ. If you make it up until this time, all your investments, that safe that you have with gold and all of your mutual funds and annuities and things that you're looking for, that someday you would have $1 million and you can get paid so much a month and not have to work and you get a reverse mortgage and you get all these things. Gone. Instantly gone. And all these things, it says, which are dainty, that's graceful in movement, and goodly, that's good size and quantity, are destroyed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. It's like destroyed in one instant. And verse 15, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So all these things that they lusted after are gone now. So what are they doing? They're standing at a distance, watching, like this Pliny the Younger standing and watching Mount Vesuvius explode and Pompeii destroyed. They're at a distance watching the destruction of their religion, destruction of their investments, and they're wailing and weeping. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. Destroyed in one instant. Immediately laid waste. And there it is again. In 1 hour come to naught. Now, just a thought. Do you know where the literal physical Babylon is located today? It's located in that Fertile Crescent area between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers you have on a map before you. That arrow goes right to that area. It's a place called the Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent. It's a place where actually you had the Garden of Eden. This is present-day Iraq. Now, read on, verse 17 through 19, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships, that's all the passengers in the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea, as like the thought is as many as make their living by the sea, they stood afar off and cried, verse 18, when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? It's like, good night, these owners and pilots of the ships and all of their passengers and all those who make money by shipping oil and tankers and all the vacationers and everyone that makes a living by the sea, all of them want to stay in their place and watch. That's at a distance. And they're saying, how can this happen? This was such a great city. Verse 19, and they cast dust on their heads. What's that? Well, you have a picture of that before you. It's a real picture of people mourning. Sadness, they throw dirt all over their bodies. And they cried, weeping and wailing. Lots of crying, weeping, deep hurt, grieving. Why is that? Surely they're repenting, right? It's like, we're sorry we disobeyed you, Lord. And we violated the word of God. We confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We confess that now. What are they saying? Well, it says they're saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. It's like, uh-oh, that great city of Babylon, the city in which everyone who had ships in the sea became wealthy because of her wealth. Uh-oh, weeping and mourning and great depression. Hey, call in work and tell them we can't be there. We're devastated. The stock market has plunged. We have lost our investments. I'm now unable to get that nice vehicle I wanted. It's burned. It's melted to the ground. These people are totally fixated on the economy of Babylon. Her costliness. The Greek word for that is all her costly things, the prosperity and wealth. Notice that phrase again. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. The thought is, in one instant, she's deserted, abandoned, and laid waste. All of a sudden, immediately it happened. And this is their dilemma, their problem, their depression. They're all horribly devastated because all of their wealth and hopes have been shattered in one moment. It all fell apart. It's gone. Talk about emotional upheaval. Talk about emotional devastation. Now a change of focus. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Who's Jesus talking to now? Those in heaven. Who's that? Well, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, angels, martyred Christians, those holy apostles and prophets, all Christians. What's he telling them? What's he telling us? Rejoice over her, for God hath avenged you on her. And the word avenge is a legal term. It's like God has taken legal action against this corrupt system of religion and government. They've broken God's laws, and now they must pay. It is time to even up the score. Vindication time. Time for vengeance. See, interesting what God says to us in Romans 12:19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. He says, give it time. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen? God wins. And a mighty angel, verse 21, took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall thy great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So I would say so much for Babylon. After the nation is thrown down with violence or sudden force, she will disappear, gone, and found no more at all. As hard as people try to find Babylon, she's not going to be found at all, ever. The false, the corrupt religion of Rome is gone, completely destroyed. The corrupt and immoral economic and political system, gone, completely destroyed. Look at verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. If you go to the next slide after this. Today, the only thing you can find left of the literal Babylon of old are the ruins, with a part of it being rebuilt. No one lives there. A very popular place for musicals, theatrical events, various celebrations. Talked with my father-in-law this morning. He says, you know, do you think maybe Dubai might be the next, this Babylon the Great? Well, these are literal cities. So this whole system of Babylon the Great is talking about a system that's permeated the whole earth. But there in Babylon the Great is being rebuilt. There's entertainment. But no more, God says. No more vocals. No more instrumentals. He says, look at verse 22. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. So you're not going to find any more skilled workers. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. So the mills won't be grinding any grain. Why is that? Well, there's no grain to grind. No more industry and skilled labor. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. So no more music. No more weddings. They all come to a violent end. Destroyed in one instant. Why is that? Here's why. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in that word sorcery, you get the idea of drugs. Drugs are rampant. You talk about these merchants, great men of the earth, those who are employed in commerce and trade, important people, big shots, the upper crust. It's a bunch of crumbs held together by their own dough. The full world was full of people making money and drugs, for thy sorceries were all, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Full of sorcery, demonic things, drugs, deception. And verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So this system was guilty of killing God's prophets and massacring lots of people of the saints. Out of chapter 19, and we'll look at the first two verses. And after these things, watch this, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. This is us, folks. You're saved, you're going to be there with this great multitude of people. And you're saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Let's practice that for a minute. You with me? Look at the verse, verse 1. Let's say Alleluia to the end of that verse. Ready? Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now you just said it now. This time, erupt. You ready? Saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. So you've had a dress rehearsal here, folks. That's a mega voice from heaven of all those who are born again and went to heaven at the rapture. We are the ones that are erupting with that loud voice. Hallelujah. It means praise God. Salvation, that's deliverance. Glory, it's like, look at God. Ain't God good? And honor, Lord, you're worthy. And power, God, you're powerful. And you can do anything. Just look at you, God. You've mowed the mountains out of their places. You have removed the islands. You've stirred up the seas with a huge millstone. You've turned off all the lights. You've lit up the earth with lights emanating from your mighty angel. You've turned the waters of the earth into blood. God, you are so awesome. You have scorched the earth. You put blisters on all the people that hate you. You've let Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet know that even though they killed the two mighty preachers, you would raise them up. You've avenged all the horrible things done to God's people. You've avenged the martyrs. Look at you, God. Look at you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. You have delivered us from sin and death. And to you belongs all the glory and all the respect. And you are worthy to be praised. And you're able to do anything. To you belongs all the power. It is all about you. All about you, Lord. All about you, Master. All about you, Lord Jesus. You are God. Amen. Look at verse 2. That's what we're going to be doing when we get to heaven. You better rehearse. How do you rehearse? You rehearse in church. Hey, you rehearse privately. Are you with me? Look at verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. It's all of God's decisions and actions and judgment, especially in particular judging that great whore Babylon, are accurate. All of his judgments are accurate and holy. Notice he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So he, Jesus, has declared his legal decree against the immoral false religion, that's the Church of Rome, and government that corrupted and tainted and stained and ruined and sullied the whole earth. Just watch TV, you'll see that. And God has evened the score. Don't you like that? I mean, it's not, we don't do this as a habit. We don't do this more than 1 minute after the news. If we don't turn the TV off, come some of these perverts, some of these anti-God people. Everybody's laughing in there and clapping and they're blaspheming God. You know, God's going to even up the score. Why? Because He is true. He is accurate. Everything He does is correct and righteous and holy. All of His holy decisions, all of His decrees against that powerful, wicked, immoral philosophy in the Babylon of the Great. Why? Because both this false and corrupt religion and economic and political system have spilled the blood of God's servants. In Syria it's happening. In Iran it's happening. In Korea it's happening. All around the world it's happening right now. The heads of God's people are being lopped off. Blood is spilled, and we just think God's going to even the score. They have massacred the children of God. So this here is the answer to the prayers, by the way, and the pleas of all the martyrs under the altar. All the way back in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, He opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it is said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as their word should be fulfilled. Just wait. Wait. Because there's going to be more joining you under the altar. And when that total amount is fulfilled, it's payback time. And you see that. It's double payback time.
That's
right. So we'll continue this next week. So what? So what does this mean in our lives? Well, it means this. God is holy and righteous. About the false religion of Rome, it's immoral, it's corrupt, and God will judge it. About the American dream, how you doing? I'm just living the dream, buddy. About that dream, that system of materialism that so gripped the hearts and souls of so many people in the world. That system that God says is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10, destroyed in one instant. A system that's ruined the lives of so many families and homes, destroyed in one instant. A system that turns millions and millions of hearts away from God, destroyed in one instant. That system that keeps men and women from being faithful in church, destroyed in one instant. A system that's kept many of our young people away from serving God full times with their lives, destroyed in one instant. That system one day will be destroyed in one instant, immediately devastated, turned upside down by God, thousands of times more powerful than the volcano at Mount Vesuvius, ultimately releasing that 100,000 times the thermal energy released by Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings. We heard that. People were instantly killed, even while they were doing their everyday chores. This will be thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times more intense. And we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it all happening from the grandstands of heaven. Amen? Not just one geographical area like Iraq, like Babylon of Iraq or wherever, but we're going to watch this Babylon the Great that's got its roots in all the earth. In the 10 kingdoms that are the earth is divided into, with the 10 rulers destroyed in one instant. The very air of this false religion sucked out of it in one instant. When the economic system that's turned so many against God, that economic system is destroyed in one instant. In one instant, the very air of the American dream is going to be sucked off the earth. And we in heaven will erupt, we will explode, we will burst out with loud, reverberating praise to God. And what will we be saying? Hallelujah! salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And I would say this to you, oh listen, won't you see it now? Won't you turn your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ now? Won't you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation now? I would say, won't you realize that this American dream that's so completely grabbed your heart and kept you from winning souls and kept you from reading your Bible and kept you from being faithful in church, all the air of that American dream is going to be sucked out in one instant and laid bare. You're going to see that it's worthless. Only one life you're going to see is worth anything when lived for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. And what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Dear God, we confess that you win, that you're Lord of all. Alleluia. Salvation, glory, and honor and power unto you, Lord God. Alleluia.